Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Remain one of the biggest stories in the NFL with the quarterback competition ahead. Don't miss Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin's latest edition of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, where they discuss all the latest talk around the expectations for the upcoming season. Subscribe to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland now at 923thefan.com on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Getting ready to go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, helping break down the start of training camp, Browns rookie mini camp, and the season that lies ahead. He's from Cleveland.com, and he joins us regularly. It's Coach Riz, Lance Reisland, joining us now. Lance, what's going on?
Jake, how are you, my friend?
We are doing good, where I nervously do an entire show that regards to the Browns as I nervously stare up at a Cavs game.
Absolutely, yeah. You got to, you know, hopefully the Cavs will play better. The game was already over the other night, so hopefully they can play well throughout tonight.
Yeah, we're definitely on better pace to start tonight than we were last night. But that's or on Sunday night, but that's not a very big feat. You can army crawl over that bar.
Absolutely, man. That was brutal.
Lance, as we go through and we look at rookie minicamp, was obviously. I know you and I had talked about it previously. Like, there's not a ton that you learn from these guys as a fan perspective or a media perspective going out. But as you saw Shedeur Sanders and you saw Dylan Gabriel on the field, how would you say that the two quarterbacks looked?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The narrative that one quarterback was a lot better than the other, I don't necessarily agree with because of the fact of, like you said, what it was. It was a rookie minicamp. I would actually be more concerned if they didn't throw the ball well. They both did a really nice job of operation. They both threw the ball well. Considering there's no pass rush, there's no pads. Like I said, I would be more concerned if they didn't. You know, Sanders throws the ball. He threw some very nice deep balls. He's got to work on his footwork. That'll all come. You know, obviously, I think his footwork was affected by his time at Colorado and the lack of pass protection. And then, you know, Dylan Gabriel really impressed me with his arm strength. Obviously, his size will be a concern. I look forward to seeing that, obviously, with a big pass rush and things like that. But I thought they were, you know, I thought both quarterbacks, it's almost even hard to judge who was better, who was worse. Just because for what it was, they both threw the ball very well. They both had some terrible throws. They both had some terrible reads, but they did a great job with their footwork. And, you know, they're both very coachable and both very well-spoken young men. So, obviously, there's no depth chart for me or who's better or anything until they get those pads on and they start seeing live bullets. And then they'll separate themselves pretty quickly when that happens.
So, Lance, as you look at it and, you know, you broke down some of what you saw, was there anything that you could have said that you watched from rookie minicamp that was an evaluation that could be made that couldn't have been made from watching the tape or the pro day? And I don't know if Dylan Gabriel competed at the combine or not. I can't remember off the top of my head. But if he did, I mean, same thing as a pro day.
Well, you know, here's the thing about both of them. First of all, Sanders has he has a tendency to make really good throws. His footwork is not always perfect, but those are things that are very coachable. But you can tell his charisma and his leadership and his ability to process, everything that I saw with anticipation and accuracy is there with him. Dylan Gabriel actually has a strong – I always thought he had a strong arm. He's got a borderline elite strong arm. He can really deliver the football. He's got a very compact motion. You can see why Stefanski would like him and they would take him in the third round because of the fact he can throw from different launch points. He's very his throwing motion is very compact. He's very quick with his decisions. He gets rid of the ball. He protects the football. So both guys kind of, they kind of showed me exactly, especially in this type of setting where they're just throwing on air and there's no pads and there's no hitting and things like that. They both did a really nice job in terms of tempo and pace and making sure they're getting their teammates in and out of the huddle. They did a really nice job. Nothing surprised me with either of them. I'll tell you what, they were just both, they're both very well spoken, getting to see them in person for the time, first time. And they both enjoy really playing and practicing, and it showed out there because they were constantly upbeat and doing the right things.
Yeah, that was my main takeaway. Lance was going through and actually getting to, you know, hear them talk, how they responded to some questions in the media that maybe, you know, challenged them a little bit, because typically starting off, you obviously get the, very, I don't want to call them softball questions because that carries a negative connotation, but you're a kid, you just got drafted, right? You want to ask the kid the happy questions when he gets drafted, and rightfully so. But this is the first time where a lot more of those negative questions start to come out in the competitions. We saw Dylan Gabriel sort of made the comments regarding questions about Shador that those type of questions are going to divide this room more than they're going to unify this room. Is that something that's of any concern to you? Because we know those questions are going to continue to come because that's what the people want to know about, that this room could be divided, especially between the two rookies.
I didn't see that. Now, obviously, as it gets going more in camp, we'll know and we'll find out and we'll talk about then. But what I saw was, both guys, there's so much going on. I think the playbook is so demanding for them that they're both in kind of their own world learning the system, right? So I did not see that. What you see is Gabriel's very very business-like, right? He's always very structured in his fundamentals, where Sanders is a little bit more outgoing, a little bit more talkative, even though Gabriel's talkative as well. But I didn't see that between them because of the fact they're kind of competing with themselves at this point, right? And then you're going to get two veterans to come in who are going to take more reps than them. And that's going to be interesting to see how they split those reps up. I would say it's going to be interesting to see who the fourth guy is, because you know they're going to probably keep three. But for me, I didn't see that. I don't see that out of Gabriel. I don't see it out of either of them, but Gabriel's all business, right? He's not interested in anything else. And Sanders just has, he's contagious. He's infectious, and he's a really positive kid. So it'll be interesting, but no, I didn't see any of that with either of them. They were just, especially this rookie minicamp, they were both just, I think, you know, kind of swimming in the playbook at this point.
Lance Rice of Cleveland.com with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How difficult for the Browns, and is it possible for them to basically keep the outside noise regarding Shador on the outside and stop it from infiltrating the locker room, just with the narratives that are going to be there? And if you start the season with Shador on the bench the way that many people expect them to, obviously there's going to be things said and people clamoring for Shador, not just in the city, but nationally as well.
Well, you know, I think they're both not ready to play right now, in my personal opinion, just see, you know, what being down there practice every day for a number of years. I just don't think they both can be NFL quarterbacks. It's going to take them some time, and I'm not sure they're going to get the reps, because as much as everybody says we're going to play rookies, these coaches in this front office, they need to win this year. So I think that's Flacco and Pickett early on. Now, do they get the reps depending on how things go? I'm not sure. The outside noise, you knew that when you drafted. You drafted a celebrity, and even it's just interesting because you got a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick, and, you know, just hearing some of the media, people who have done it for a long, long time, there's never been a fifth-round pick who generates as much buzz as Sanders did. And rightfully so, he's got a ton of skill. He's got a ton of aura around him. Teammates really seem to like him, so you can see why that happens. But yeah, when you bring him in, and especially if things don't go well, now you're going to test your mettle in terms of decisions you make, because there's a chance that he could be the fourth quarterback. That could really be a thing here. And so we'll see what, you know, the amount of things that people have said to me, even when Deshaun Watson came, is double that of what I got from Watson. So it's going to be very, very interesting. But when you draft a guy like that, you know, he comes with that, all that outside noise, but as a football player, he seems like he works real hard and he's a great kid. So we'll see how that, you know, how that balances.
Lance, Mary Kay Cabot over at Cleveland.com with you was on earlier today with Baskin and Phelps on our midday show, and she had basically displayed the fact that she said going into training camp, the way that they may split up reps is having Joe Flacco just take a little bit less, right? He already knows the system, knows the scheme. Well, they're going to try to let some of the younger and newer guys who haven't been here before try to establish the relationships. If the Browns go down that route, do you think that's a fair way to split the reps, sort of not taking Joe obviously completely out of it, but maybe limiting his, especially early on?
Well, you know, I think for me, what they have to do is that they have to take more onus on the things that they do throughout practice besides the 11 on 11. So you're talking tracks with the running backs, routes with receivers, routes with tight ends, blitz pickup, red zone, coming out. Like, they have to evaluate everything these guys are doing. How are they in meetings? How, you know, all that kind of stuff. It really comes in when you're in a true competition, everything counts. Now, I think Joe Flacco, for me, gives them the best opportunity to win right now. And the reason why is because everybody else can play fast. And, you know, I think I said this to you last time we talked, is that when you're installing a play, you have to put it in on the playbook, put it in on the board. Then you got to walk through it, and then you got to walk through it against the defense. And then finally you get to the point where you get full speed. Well, with Flacco, they can do a lot of those things full speed because he has just more knowledge of the system. Doesn't mean he's necessarily better, and maybe one of these guys can catch him. But I think Flacco gives them, just because of knowledge and experience in the system, gives him the best chance. But he's an older guy, you know, and he needs the reps too. And I don't care who you are or how long you've played, you need live reps against live bullets as much as possible to get yourself ready. Because in the game of football, no matter how hard you practice, those game reps are just faster. And you need those game reps to, you know, to be successful. So whoever they decide with, they got to make sure that that guy is getting the majority of the reps, especially as they get closer to the season.
As we go through, you mentioned that you think Joe Flacco gives you the best chance to win right now, and I obviously fully agree with you with where they're at. If you look at the long term of this season, and you were to look at the ceiling of the quarterbacks and where on the high end you think they'd be able to end up, is there a quarterback that you think gives you a highest ceiling?
Well, you know, I think, you know, both rookies are outstanding. For me, I've been high on Dylan Gabriel just because of his composure and his ability, maybe not to get to a 10, but to get to an 8. But I think he can stay at an 8, where maybe Sanders can get to a 10, but maybe be a little bit lower in that, because he is a guy who plays with emotion. He is a guy who a gunslinger mentality, where Dylan Gabriel is not. Even if you saw the best throws from Dylan Gabriel in rookie camp, they're all in that 10 to 15 yard range. However, for the Browns, I think with the defense they can have, the run game that they're going to try to get going again, they need a quarterback they can win with. Now, if you talk about Shador Sanders and some of his skill set, maybe down the road he's a quarterback you can win because of. But right now, Dylan Gabriel is a quarterback, in my opinion, that you can win with, because he's not a guy who can carry the offense, but he's a guy who I don't think would make the big mistake. He's a guy who will get rid of the football on third and long. He's a guy who will protect the football, make sure every drive ends in a punt or some type of kick, extra point, field goal, et cetera. So, the ceiling might be a little bit higher for Sanders just because of his skill set, but Dylan Gabriel's skill set is a lot better and a lot higher than people think. He has an elite arm. He moves his feet very well in the pocket. His big thing will be is his height, and that's a fair, you know, kind of judgment on him, because he's going to have to be an outlier and prove that doesn't affect him. But I'm really high on Gabriel, and I think he can. Even with the other quarterback being in, I think he's a quarterback that could be really good in this Browns offense.
Lance Rising, Cleveland.com with us on the hotline. Lance, getting a little bit away from the quarterbacks, as you go through and you look at rookie minicamp, was there anybody that stood out to you as sort of a maybe early candidate for somebody to watch during the preseason, a preseason hero that made this roster?
Well, you know, Luke Floria, kid out of Mentor, he's really talented. And I tell you what, he gives you a lot of, like the Julian Edelman, same school, Kent State grad. He's really good in the slot. He does a lot of things really, really well. He got open. He got open all camp, and he was good with both quarterbacks. He's very quarterback friendly. So he was a guy that I was, I remember him in high school, but he's a guy that did a lot of really good things, especially for what the Browns need in that slot, those option routes. He did some really good things down in the red zone. He's undersized. He definitely reminds you of like a Wes Welker, Edelman, those small slot receivers who could just get open. He's quicker than he is fast. Very impressed with him. I was not shocked at all. And then one of their draftees, everybody was really good, even, you know, but Schlesinger, I was super impressed with his build. His lower half is so big and thick. I thought he was a skinnier guy. He's a big guy that can run. So I think the Browns fans are going to be very happy with him, you know, when they get to the season, because he's a big, thick kid.
Luke Florio, an interesting one. I graduated high school with him, so definitely somebody that I have an eye on.
he was outstanding. I tell you what, he does. He's very well coached in high school, obviously out of Menard. Kent, you know, he stayed at Kent. I'm sure other teams tried to get him. He was really, really good, separating from very fast guys. Very good in the slot. Did the kind of things that you see those slot receivers do underneath against linebackers, etc. Very, very impressed with him. I think he has a legit shot to make this football team.
I like to hear it, Lance. As we got the doing. This is a terrible transition, but much more depressing note. We got the bad news earlier on this week that Jeremiah Wusukoromoa, JOK, going to not participate in the 2025 season. He was put on the physically unable to perform list. Did that come as any surprise to you, the way that the Browns operated this offseason?
No, you know, I didn't have any idea, and none of the people that I work with who have much more intel than I would have, they really didn't have any idea either. And then when they went like a non-Luther Burden with that 33rd pick, and they went with Schlesinger, that told me that maybe something was up. That's kind of the thought process, talking with David Bacon when I was down doing the draft. That's kind of the thought process, that why would they go out and get this type of linebacker unless something was going on with JOK? So I'm not sure they knew, but I knew that they had to have a plan. And, you know, the Schlesinger kid will remind a lot of people of JOK instinctually. Now, JOK is lightning in a bottle, and he's not as fast, but he's a tackling machine. I was a little shocked until they drafted Schlesinger. And then I said, you know, that tells you that they're just, if they didn't know, they were very much unsure of what, you know, what the future held with JOK.
Lance, I'll get you out of here with this one. We learned earlier on today that the Browns going to be playing a game out in London, which we already knew, but we know now that it's against the Vikings. Hey, you get scheduled for a home game overseas. And does a team view that as like a punishment? Because it feels like obviously you're taking a game away from your direct home crowd. You have to go and actually travel for it. Is that a negative viewed by teams or a cool opportunity to you?
Well, you know, it's probably a cool opportunity, but I will tell you this. When you're into the season, you're into week 5 or 6, so now you're into, you know, multiple months into the season. The travel, regardless of where you're going, even though they're going to a great place, and it'll be a lot of fun to see the sights. They won't see a lot of those, right? They're going to go and they're going to play football and come home. So the travel alone, it's probably not great for those guys. They're probably not super looking forward to traveling, you know, other side of the world kind of deal to play. However, it is a great experience. Unfortunately, I think they'd rather have a home game just because I really, you know, winning at home is a lot easier than winning on the road in the NFL, all sports, but NFL particularly at times. So it goes both ways, but I really think they would prefer not to travel, play that home game. Just because it messes up your schedule. It's going to the week before and the week after are going to be mixed up, and the scouting reports and just there's a lot that goes into it for both the coaches and the players that kind of make it a hassle, even though they're traveling to a wonderful place. I would assume.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Most of those guys would rather just play at home.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Lance, as always, I appreciate you jumping on. I'm sure we'll talk to you sometime soon, hopefully with just a better understanding overall from all of us on what's going on at the quarterback position.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I look forward to breaking this down myself, my friend.
Appreciate you, Lance.
Talk soon.
Lance Risen of Cleveland.com with us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say coming back as well. Browns game in London feels like a punishment. As it's overtime with Jake Falnick with you guys. I really liked, honestly, a lot of what Lance had to say on the quarterbacks. I appreciate his approach to the entire thing a lot more, because as someone in the media business, like Lance and I, the immediate thing is obviously let's overreact to Shedeur Sanders. Let's talk a ton of Shedeur and what he has to offer. Lance takes a very calculated approach to it, right? A very realistic approach to the way that we have to look at these things, which is right now, no depth charts. Right now, there's evaluation happening, but not really from the media perspective. Yeah, you just see the guys and hopefully they look good. If they look bad, you have a problem. But if they're looking good, we're on pace where they should be. And he said he thought both guys looked capable of being NFL quarterbacks. I like to hear that, you know, because you always think back of like a rookie minicamp disasters. And rookie minicamp disasters for me pretty much launch on the fact of Anthony Schwartz. All I can remember is his rookie minicamp. Yeah, couldn't really catch the football. That was very indicative of what was going forward. But everything else and what we've seen apparently out of these rookies right now is what you should expect. They look good. I like the positive words on Carson Schlesinger. I like the positive words on guys like Luke Floria, on guys like both Shedeur and Dylan Gabriel. There wasn't a ton of negative, right? And I think that's the thing that you take away from a Browns rookie minicamp, is that you're looking to avoid the, well, this player just looks like he can't play. Just flat out, these guys look like they're not capable of being out there, and there's concerns. You haven't heard concerns for anybody that participated in anything. Again, that's what I want to avoid. That's the type of thing that I don't want to get into, because it's just not great, right? When you're talking about prime negatives of what's happening in a place where there's not a ton of defense and just not really a ton of much happening, period, that's where your concern should probably start to boil up. That's where your concern should start to really hammer home. And it's great right now looking at it and not having those issues. That's what you want. That's what you want to see. So I think you take definitely a positive look at it, and we can take a positive spin to seeing it. Aside from that, we're going to talk Browns coming back here at 8:40, and we're half an hour away from Get a Grip, as we always do at 9 o'clock. But did want to mention the Cleveland Guardians. Winners today over the Milwaukee Brewers by a final score of 2-0. And my favorite part of watching this series is, as you look at the Brewers now dropping to 20-23 on the year, quite obvious as to, I think, why the Brewers are struggling and below 500 at the moment. They just can't hit the baseball. Very, very simply, that team can't hit the baseball. Yeah, you're looking for standouts, anything happening. They closed out today's game with a whopping 3 hits. Now, good stuff out of Logan Allen. Obviously, great stuff out of the Guardians bullpen. But it's like, hey, Jackson Chourio's up there at the top. And nobody else. Got it. That's a... about how this is going. You've outscored them in the 2 games. You've already won the series, which is, again, at this point in the season, you're looking for series wins. We'll take a series win. But hey, you've been outscored if you're the Brewers 7-0. And if you're the Guardians, you're... thank you very much. We had to go 6 innings of a bullpen game yesterday in order to win, and they went scoreless. And you got another 3 innings out of them today. And you're just like, Okay, yep, we'll take that and we'll keep moving forward. Thank you. They just cannot hit the baseball. And again, I want to give the props to the Guardians pitching staff because Logan Allen was really good today, threw 90 pitches across six, only walked one guy, attacked the strike zone through six innings, didn't even hit 90 pitches. You'll take that every time you can get it. But then you also get, you know, Matt Festa, Hunter Gaddis, Emmanuel Clase, all hitless outings, four total strikeouts between the three pitchers. It, no guy surpassed, 14 pitches with the highest number. That was out of Clase in the ninth. Okay. Again, that's exactly what you're asking out of this pitching staff, and you don't require the massive offense on the other side, which, by the way, you certainly did not get today. Didn't get a ton. You got a solo shot back in the first inning from Jose Ramirez, and then the offense went completely dormant up until the eighth. 2-0 win. Again, I'd like to see it out of the offense. I want you to score runs, want you to put up dominant wins, but on a day, you just don't have it offensively. And, you know, the bullpen for the Milwaukee Brewers shows up, you just take it. You walk away and you take it. Guardians up to 25-17 now on the year. And with where we're standing right now as Guardians fans, and hey, you're going to need someone to step up in this rotation, right, as we continue to really try to find out what the timetable on Ben Lively actually looks like, because he's now landed on the injured list with officially a flexor strain as of earlier today. So you're just going to need somebody else to begin to step up. And Logan Allen's going to have to be one of those guys. He's been decent all year. You've accepted what you've gotten out of him, but you're going to need other guys to step up around him. So they've started things well off, where he had the bullpen pick up Lively after getting injured yesterday, and you have Logan Allen do a, you know, heavy lifting today, being able to go six innings, not have to give up any runs, not put the Guardians in any serious trouble. So you're going to need those. But those are the type of guys that have to step up. The back end of your rotation, and able to keep you afloat, is going to have to be able to step up, because you got a 15-day IL for Ben Lively, which we all know can turn into longer than 15 days on the IL. I mean, you avoided the catastrophe that's losing him for an extended period of time. But yeah, somebody is going to have to step up into a starting role and step up into that role. And I mean, quite frankly, hold down the fort. Because if you have to go four-man rotation, or you have to shift somebody back into being a starter, or call somebody up, there's a good chance that the guy's sitting down there and waiting. You're not going to have a real massive sample size, and you're probably not going to have the most efficiency out of that guy. I just don't think you have anybody great really waiting in the wings. So you're going to need the guys that are there right now to be able to carry the workload. That's going to have to continue beyond just, well, we're playing the Brewers and the Brewers don't hit the ball that great. You're going to have to do it against teams that are going to hit the ball a little bit better than the Brewers do in that 15-day stretch and potentially beyond, right? You go to playing the Reds, we're an up-and-down team, obviously a Tito team, so you know, hey, there's a back-and-forth that can occur there. The Twins, you get a break, but then it's Detroit, both Los Angeles's, into New York, into, well, Houston's not that great at hitting the ball this year, but a good baseball team nonetheless. But yeah, a stretch where you're going through and playing some teams that can really hit the ball. Somebody's going to have to be there, or else your bullpen is going to be burned out in this stretch. And now we're just sitting trying to figure out and waiting who that's actually going to be. Again, Guardians winners today over the Brewers by a final score of 2-0. Tomorrow, well, you get Gavin Williams on the mound, and it's an undecided TBA coming out from the Brewers. So hopefully that means bullpen game and a series sweep. We'll just have to wait and see. That one's a 1-10 start tomorrow. But we'll take the series sweep. Thank you very much. Please and thank you. Don't come out and hit the baseball, Milwaukee. All right. If you guys want to jump in, get your thoughts in on the Guardians, 216-474-0092. But we'll get back to talking Browns and whether or not A London game really feels like a punishment. That's in 5 minutes here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on the Fan. I hate the idea of playing your home game in London. Right, when you get a away game in London, it's like unfortunate, but we all have to go and do it, right? Everybody's got to live with that fact. When you get the home game there, though, it really does, in my eyes, feel like a punishment. It feels like you're just being just put into the basement of the NFL. Like, there's a reason. Let me tell you, a reason the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing home games year after year in London and in overseas. Because, one, the NFL basically picked them to be like, hey, you're going to have a London fan base now. And, two, because, well, the home crowd just doesn't show up that great in Jacksonville. That's obviously not the case for Cleveland, though. Cleveland fans continuously show up over and over again. Bad team, good team, doesn't matter. They just continue to show up for the games. And after one bad year, you're back to playing a home game against Minnesota overseas. And maybe I wouldn't be so caught up in this being a punishment feeling. I don't think that the NFL actually looked at you and said, this is a punishment. Welcome to doing this as a bad deed for going 3-12. 3-12, 3-14. Numbers are difficult. From going 3-14, but I do kind of feel like the idea that they're like, Minnesota out there just had a good season. Yeah, sure, why not? We'll throw you in London. We'll get as many eyes on this game as we possibly can by making you go and play at, 9 o'clock in the morning on Eastern Coast time.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It just feels like a game that you look at, right? And we're not doing schedule game quite yet, but it does feel like a game that you don't have a great shot to win right off the rip. Like, Minnesota's a very good football team and a team that can definitely cause you some problems, but they're just probably going to be in a better spot. I mean, this is a team that won 14 games last year. They're going with a change at quarterback, obviously rotating over to their once rookie quarterback and now sort of still rookie quarterback after dealing with an injury in J.J. McCarthy. But it just doesn't feel like a game where the Browns have a great chance. Like, if you want to put me out in London, play me against, like, Vegas. Play me against Tennessee. You want to have some fun, play me against Tennessee. That would have been number one pick versus number two pick, traded out now over to number five. But, yeah, let's see Cam Ward versus Mason Graham directly on the field, one versus one. With an offensive line in between. But let's see that matchup and get a storyline. Like, what is the Browns-Vikings storyline that you're painting out in actually in London? Is it supposed to be the, like, Kevin Stefanski revenge painting tour? Because that doesn't really feel like a great mode to be in. That doesn't feel like a great sell to the fans. Hey, Kevin's coming back and playing his old team. Okay. Sure. Well, we're doing it in London, and now nobody's invested. Again, I feel like it's an absolute punishment to actually have to be out there and have to go through just the process of doing that and having to play a game. And I feel like for a team, for all the things that Lance Risland mentioned when he joined us at 8 o'clock, it's like you're in the middle of the year. Now you're a month, 2 months into the season. You're going to have to go through in a game that should be played traditionally with no overseas games at home, would then be being played where you have to take a long travel week and go play on a different continent. That feels like a punishment. It doesn't feel like a time where a lot of you guys get to relax, and actually have to go out there and not be sleeping in your home. You have to be sleeping in a hotel and everything beyond. It's just not the place that I want to be, which does draw me to the big question, by the way, where you can get to me at 216-474-0092. As we get ready for a schedule tomorrow night to be released, where we actually get week by week where the Browns are going to be, what the schedule actually looks like, you know, the runs where you get, hey, here's an easy part of the schedule. Like last year was supposed to be like the first 6 weeks and turned into none of it was easy. Or, you know, your difficult portions of the schedule, when you play your divisional opponent, does that actually matter to you? Like, is that something that you look at and you change the way that the Browns are going to operate and what the final record is going to look like by the schedule? Because I'll tell you what, we were looking at it last year, and it was definitely a schedule that I looked at going from the 2023 season to the 2024 season and going, okay, well, that's flipped on its head, right? That's a completely different story where it felt like in the 2023 season, you had walked into, and I don't want to call it an easy schedule, but you had something there, right? Where you found a little bit of a pocket to play some pretty bad teams and not have to go up and play the most difficult portions of the schedule. Where last year, I looked at everything after week six or seven and was like, wow. Like, you're playing a lot of divisional games towards the back half of the year. You're playing the Chiefs in the back half of the year. You had to play the Dolphins and multiple other, you know, solid teams. The Broncos, who you thought would have been an easier one, but ended up being a very difficult game in reality. And I was like, it's going to be difficult to win games down the back half in the back stretch of the year. And that's going to be something that the Browns have to navigate. So I look at the schedule and I do think that good teams are going to win. Bad teams are going to lose at the end of the day. Does it change, you know, a team that had a perspective of going out and getting 5 or 6 wins in a season, the difference between them being maybe a 2-win team and a 10-win team? Probably not. But are there stretches of football where you look and say, well, you just had to run through an absolute gauntlet where you had to play, you know, Ravens, Vikings in London, come back, play a West Coast game, and then something else? Like, yeah, I think that definitely starts to play a part into, well, when they get to that third game, there's probably not a great chance that they win it, even if they weren't going to win it before. They definitely got done no favors. Whereas if you start to play a difficult team, you know, well, now they're coming off a 6-game stretch. I think that changes it. And while teams might not openly overreact to these types of things, and they might not be losing their minds over it, I think it's definitely something that in the grand scheme of things starts to play a toll. Right? It was just a couple of years ago that we were looking at the Browns on, I think it was a week 6 bye. Like a week 6 bye is probably, by the way, what you're lining up for closer to this year, given the fact that we looked at where the London game in the schedule is being played, and I imagine they're probably going to schedule a bye relatively close to that. But you're looking at one of those where then you have to go back and down the back half of a season play 12, 13 games straight with no breaks in between. Like, getting one of the ridiculously late or early byes feels like it is a massive advantage for your team one way or the other, right? You're going to be well-rested coming into week 6, or you're going to be terribly rested in the first 13 games of the season. But ultimately, like, those are the two worst scenarios. Like, I'd much rather be looking at it, even though the bye placement is something that I focus on heavily when we're breaking these types of things down. Because something as simple as a week 9 bye where you play 8 games before, 9 games after, I think that's a good rest for a team. You get through the first half of the season, you feel like it's a proper stopping point, a proper point to take a break and reevaluate. Where sometimes it feels like the bye hits you early on, and then you're just in a whirlwind in the back half of the year where you are very week to week, and there's not a ton of reflection time. And I don't want the Browns to be sucked into that and be stuck, you know, having to go down a stretch of the season where in this year you get stuck in a whirlwind, where in a year I think you're looking at a potential of having to make so many decisions in a, you know, week-to-week basis and evaluate your players sort of on a week-to-week basis, especially at quarterback, that getting caught in the whirlwind like that can leave you in a spot that I think is very dangerous and can put you in a spot that I think probably sets your future up negatively compared to even where a bye can be before. And maybe it's a little overanalyzation. Maybe you dig too deep into it. But I do think that these are the type of things that start to matter. And these are the type of things that realistically you go through and you go on to reflect on the season and look back on it and say, oh, wow, that played a massive impact. Maybe not in the moment, maybe not even leading up to it, but when you reflect on it, those are the type of things that make the changes and leave you in a spot of really just being in a clear mindset and not being in a clear mindset. A bye week plays a massive advantage. And if you have to wait until week 13, the idea that the Browns could mess up the quarterback situation is not something I want to look forward to. I'd like them to be able to figure it out and figure it out in due time. I would like the bye week, truthfully, to probably come around week 8. And if they start with a veteran quarterback, it'll be a really good spot to see like 7 games and then the realization set in that, well, maybe we're not in the greatest spot, or maybe we are, but we have to see the rookie quarterbacks and it's a good time to reset. A late bye leaves you in a complete opposite scenario where you're going to have to make that in a week-to-week change. And that's not a spot that I want to be in. 216-474-0092. Coming back here in 5 minutes, as we always do at 9 o'clock. Let's get a grip. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick, with you guys right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.